Hallelujah. He's worthy of our praise this morning. Amen. I said my Savior is worthy of our praise this morning. Amen. I said my Savior, he's worthy of my praise this morning. Come on, get ready to sing it with me. You got joy in your soul this morning? Come on, let's bless him. Here we go. I got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail. I'm singing on his will. He's attacking every day. By watching will I pray. No matter the attack, I won't go back.
This means war.
Yeah, this means.
This means war.
I said this means war.
This means war.
Oh, I'm going on to war this morning.
This means war.
Come on, sing it with me again. I got joy. I got joy in my soul. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all his will. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching will I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back.
This means war.
I said this means war.
This means war.
Oh, this means war.
This means war.
Yeah, this means war.
This means war.
Come on now, sing. I've been storming the rain, but the blood still stays the same. Whatever's going wrong, my world clothes are on. I might be in a daze, but you can't have my praise. No matter the attack, I won't go back.
This means war.
This means war.
This means war.
I said this means war.
This means war.
Come on, let's sing the verse again. I've been the storm, been storming the rain, but the blood still stays the same. What hell is going wrong? My world clothes are on. I might be in a daze, but you can't have my praise. No matter the attack, I won't go back.
This means war.
I said this means.
This means war.
I said this means. This morning, amen.
I plead, I plead the blood.
Come on, let's plead the blood of Jesus.
I plead the blood.
Cause there's healing in the blood of Jesus.
I plead the blood.
There's victory in his blood.
I plead the blood.
I said there's healing in his blood.
I plead the blood.
Victory in the blood of Jesus.
I plead the blood.
Yeah, there's healing.
I plead the blood.
Okay, we kind of believe that this morning. I said we kind of believe that there's healing in the blood. We kind of believe that there is victory in the blood. I got to tell you something. I do not believe that the blood of Jesus was shed in vain. I do not believe that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed in vain. I believe that when I sing about the blood, when I sing about the blood that was shed to cover all my sin, that blood that was that covered up my imperfections, that blood that fixed all my mess, that same blood that was shed for me was shed for you. And so when you begin to plead the blood of God over you, when you begin to plead the blood of God over your family, there is power. There is power in that blood. There is wonder-working power in that blood. So this morning, if you come dragging in this morning, it's time to quit your dragging. It's time to pick up your shield of faith this morning. It's time to put on that breastplate. It's time to get the truth on. It's time for that helmet of salvation. And it's time to go. It's time to go to war this morning. Amen. Because I said I plead the blood. Come on, ladies, sing it for me.
I plead the blood.
There's power in the blood of Jesus.
I plead the blood.
Victory in the blood of Jesus.
I plead the blood.
There's healing in his blood.
I plead the blood.
I said there's victory in his blood.
I plead the blood.
Healing in the blood.
I plead the blood.
Cause this means war. Are you ready? You can't have my family.
You can't have my family.
No, you can't have my increase.
You can't have my increase.
You can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my family.
You can't have my family.
No, you can't have my increase.
You can't have my increase.
You can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
'Cause you can't have, you can't have, you can't have, please.
I plead the blood.
That power in the blood of Jesus.
I plead the blood.
That's healing in the blood.
I plead the blood.
That's victory in the blood of Jesus.
I plead the blood.
This means war. I said this means war. You know that this means war.
This means war.
Oh, sing it one more time.
This means war.
I said this means war.
This means war.
Come on, this morning you gotta put your war clothes on. You gotta get ready to go into battle. The Bible says that the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, but the violent take it by force, amen? Are you ready to go in? I said, you can't have my family.
You can't have my family.
Now you can't have my increase.
You can't have my increase.
You can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
No, you can't have my family.
You can't have my family.
You can't have my increase.
You can't have my increase.
You can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have, you can't have, you can't, you can't, you can't. I plead
the blood.
Power in the blood of Jesus.
I plead the blood.
This victory in his blood.
I plead the blood.
That's healing in the blood.
I plead the blood.
Nothing but the blood.
I plead the blood.
'Cause this means war. Sing it. Let me hear you sing it this morning. Just the drums. Come on, plead the blood. Ready?
I plead the blood.
Come on, church.
I plead the blood.
Come on, church.
I plead the blood.
There's power in the blood.
I plead the blood.
Healing in the blood.
I plead the
There's
blood.
There's victory in the blood. Jesus,
I plead
the
blood. Yeah. I plead the blood.
This means war. I said this means.
This means war.
I believe that we're going on to war.
This means war.
Sing it one more time.
This means war.
Come on, take me on out of here this morning. We're gonna go and take it. We're gonna go back and take it for Jesus, amen. Hallelujah, come on, give him some praise this morning. Bless him this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, amen. Hallelujah, come on, church. Come on, church. I said, when I think about Jesus. Hallelujah. I said, when I think about my Jesus. Come on, church, say it with me. When I think about Jesus. Yes. One more time. When I think about Jesus. You know, when I think about the goodness of Jesus. When I think about the mercy of Jesus, when I think about the glory of Jesus, when I think about that blood that was shed for me,
You know what? I start to get excited. I start to look at my Savior. I start to not see what's going on around me. You know what? I don't see the waves that are crashing around me. I see myself walking on the water. Come on. Come on. I see myself walking on the water. I see myself rising above the storm. Come on, Deke, bring it there. Here we go. Come on. Get your praise on this morning. Because He is worthy. Here we go. When I think about Jesus, what He's done for me. When I think about Jesus, how He set me free. I can dance, 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 dance all night. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Hallelujah. When I think about Jesus, what He's done for me. When I think about Jesus, how He set me free. I can dance, 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 dance all night. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. When I think about Jesus, what He's done for me. When I think about Jesus, how He set me free. I can dance, 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 dance all night. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I think about Jesus, I can shout. I said, when I think about Jesus, I can shout. I said, when I think about Jesus, I can shout. You know what? If somebody comes to take your stuff, somebody comes to take your stuff, you don't say to them, hey, don't take my stuff. Don't take my stuff. No, you get serious. Men, if somebody was coming to get your family, I said, men, if somebody was coming to get your family, you're going to get it on, amen? You're going to say, hey, don't you come after my family. Don't you come after my stuff. But you know what? I don't have to do that on my own. Because when I think about Jesus, I got to shout. I said I got to shout. Shout. Yeah, shout. Come on, shout. Oh, shout. Shout. Yeah, shout. Oh, shout. 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 Gonna shout. I'm gonna shout. Yeah, shout. I'm gonna shout. I'm gonna shout. Here we go. Shout. When I think about Jesus, what He's done for me. When I think about Jesus, how He set me free. I can shout, 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 shout all night. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Sing it again. When I think about Jesus, what He's done for me. When I think about Jesus, how He set me free. I can shout, 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 shout all night. Glory. Oh, one more time. When I think about Jesus, what He's done for me. When I think about Jesus, how He set me free. I can shout, 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 shout all night. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. One more time. When I think about Jesus, what He's done for me. When I think about Jesus, how He set me free. I can shout, 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 shout. Okay. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, church. Give Him praise. Give Him praise this morning. Give Him praise this morning. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. 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 He's worthy. He's worthy. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy of our praise. When we think about your goodness, God. When we think about who you are, not just what you've done, but who you are. Who you are to us. Who you are to all of mankind. I can't help but give you praise. I can't help but to honor you. Thank you, Jesus.
What could I do? 'Cause I can't live without you. I can't live without you. Oh, tell me, what could I do? Oh, I can't live without you. I can't live.
Come on and sing it with me.
Oh, tell me,
what could I do?
Tell me, what could I do? Because I can't live.
I can't live without you. I can't live without you.
We gotta sing it again.
Here's my mind, I give you my soul. I need you to take control. 'Cause I've tried it on my own. What I found is I can't make it on my own. So I need you to take control. 'Cause I've tried it on my own. And what I found is I can't make it.
I can't make it by myself,
Jesus.
On my
church. Come on, chant out the cry to your master this morning.
Father, we thank you so much for Jesus this morning. We know that you're in this place, and God, that you're moving in amongst us. Father, many people, Lord, all the way from the back to the front, Lord, we just release a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. God, we know that your presence, God, is everything that we're desiring. But we want to be where you are. God, that is our hunger and our passion. So today, Jesus, we just submit ourselves and declare that, God, your presence is heaven to me. God, we just adore the opportunity to be where you are. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you do that, heaven? You can sit if you'd like, stand if you'd like. Let's just worship the Lord. One more song. I just really want to touch heaven this morning. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. You are so good to us, God.
Sing it with me. Who is like the Lord in all the earth?
Ah, come on, church.
Matchless beauty, love, and endless worth.
Come on.
Nothing in this world was satisfied.
Nothing in this world.
Jesus. Because Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry.
Let's sing it again. Who is like?
Who is like the Lord in all the earth?
We love you, Jesus.
A matchless love and beauty in this world.
There is nothing in this world.
Nothing in this world will satisfy.
Cause Jesus,
you're the cup that won't.
Come on now,
dry.
Sing your presence.
Your presence.
Yes.
Is ever.
Come on and sing it.
To me.
It's all about your presence. Sing treasure of my heart.
Treasure of my heart and of my soul.
In my weakness.
In my weakness, you are merciful.
Yes, he's my forgiver.
Redeemer of
my past and my present. Yes, I thank you. My future.
He
holds my future days are coming.
Your presence is ever to me.
Come on, church, raise your hands and sing.
Your presence.
Church, sing it out this morning. Come on, bless him.
Oh, Jesus.
Come on. Yes. Come on, tell him this morning that his
presence is heaven.
Sing it.
Yes.
Come on. We're talking about my Savior. Jesus.
Oh,
come on, church,
Jesus.
Let me hear you bless him this morning.
Oh, Jesus.
It's his presence.
Your presence,
yes,
is heaven to
one more time.
Oh, Jesus.
Sweet Jesus. Toes, you can be right in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah, come on.
And you know, there are a lot of folks that stand outside the presence. They watch it. They marvel at it. They wonder about it. They gaze at it. but they never participate with it. But once you step into the presence of Jesus, we're not talking about religion, the actual presence of Jesus, your whole life transforms. It goes from being religion to knowing him, because he is alive. Can I hear an amen? And Jesus loves you. Turn to someone and say, Jesus loves you. Come on, tell somebody else, Jesus loves you. I can't hear you. Shout it out loud. Jesus loves you. Now go tell four or five people that you do not know.
Come on, sing, oh, Jesus.
You.
Oh.
Go find somebody you don't know and shake their hand. Come on now. Go tell them Jesus loves you. Come on, you can do it.
Here we go. Go to everybody say,
turn to the person next to you and say, well, good morning. Turn to the other person next to you and say, what is your middle name? You might not even know their first name. Why don't you tell them your first name, too? We call the friendly church for a reason, because we like to be friendly. If they didn't put deodorant on, you can ignore that. You're all right. Be kind. Be nice. Praise the Lord. Media team. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're excited that you're here. How many of you love Jesus this morning?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hey, I want to invite you to Pastor Spencer's 50th birthday gala. It's going to be held at the Harbor Hotel in Watkins Glen, and it's $60 per person. Space is limited, so please RSVP on the link below.
Grace and peace, people of God. I'm here to let you know this, that we have a class designed especially for you. It's called Catch the Vision. You want to take part in this class because this class will show and tell you how this church came into its being. Yes, we are affecting thousands of people's lives, and you need to know the history behind your church. You need to understand that this class will take place every first and second Sunday of every month in classroom number one. Meet us there in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. We'd love to meet you there. The story of his tabernacle is absolutely amazing on all the miracles that God has been able to do. We want to welcome all of our guests here today. If you're a first-time guest, we're not going to have you stand up or embarrass you. But if the lights would be helpful, though. If you're a first-time guest, if you could just raise your hand up. We just want to say good morning and congratulations. This young man over there, all right. Come on, let's give some hand clap over on this side. We have some guests. We still don't have any lights. There we go. The whole glory to Jesus. We just want to welcome. If you are a guest and you have not received a visitor's packet, we have a free mug for you, and we just want to say thank you for being here. If you're a guest and you haven't got one of those, if you'll just raise your hand, we're going to have somebody run to you real quickly with a packet. Young man over there, very good. We have a packet coming your way right now. We're right up front. Young man right up front, young lady up front. Awesome. Where is the guest relation folk? All the way down to the front row, everybody. Hallelujah. Young man, did you get one? No, you still don't got one. Dear Lord, Pastor Daniel, where's your team? Let's be quick, 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 quick. We don't want to take too much time. Very good. Very good. We have a young couple over on this side. That's a good sign, isn't it? Very good, young. Glory to God. Why don't you go down and get one for them, Rhonda? Why don't you go get one for them? Someone help her down to the stairs. We're going to get, pastor's wife is going to deliver one to you. How do you like that? Glory to God. Praise the Lord. We're excited that you're, who has a cell phone on them? If you pick your cell phone up and check in right now, that'd be great. Just check in His Tabernacle in your Facebook. We're trying to let everybody know. Also, we want to welcome all of our online church. We have an online church. We have about 75 to 100 people online every single week. So let's give our online church, our online campus, a hand clap. Very good. We want to welcome you. If you're our online family, and we have a gift for you. We'd like to give you a His Tabernacle logo so that you can have one for your car or for your house or wherever you want, so that you will recognize that even though you might not be in the building, we have folks right now from California watching, from North Carolina watching, many times Barbados is watching. We have people literally from all over the world watching our live stream. If you would like to receive this, this is our just a little blessing to say, we know you're there, but we need to know that you're there. So will you please send us your address? We'll send one of these right out to you. You can email it to histab, H-I-S-T-A-B, at histabernacle.com, and we'll get one of these right into your hands. We have H-Links. How many of you joined an H-Link yet? Not many. So we're going to be having H-Link signups. That's our small groups, for those who don't know. We can get together and meet people you've never met before. That's a good thing, so that you can grow in the family of God. Let's have Pastor Rhonda bless us.
Okay, did you check in to Facebook? Is that what it is? Yeah, Facebook check-in. So if you want to grab your phone, I'm not into technology and I don't know all about this stuff, but I know it's fun. I was talking, so I didn't know that you already did that. Well, how about if we have a quick mom talk on finances? We should always start mom talks with the Word of God. So let me read this passage to you. Proverbs 11, 24 through 25. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. God wants his children blessed in the kingdom. He wants them blessed and prosperous. So we need to change some of the things we do as children. I raised my children with financial principles, and we function out of this. I had the privilege of doing budgeting with Chad and Jade yesterday, and it is so awesome. Can I tell you how rewarding it is as a parent that's lived this principle to be able to pass this principle on to your children, knowing that they will be successful, having no fear of what the future holds because they're being obedient to the Word of God. God calls us to be good stewards of our finances. And as children of God, if we are living out of 100% of our income that comes in, we will always be wanting at the end. And it doesn't matter how much you make. The more you make, the more you'll spend if you're living off of the top 100% of your income. So God teaches us principles so that we can be blessed and successful. The first one is the tithe. 10% tithe is holy unto the Lord. So right off the top, we have to set aside 10% for the Lord because it is holy. And when we sow that seed of obedience, the Word of God says he will open the windows of heaven. You will see financial miracles like we see every day. We get financial testimonies every day in this house. God is amazing when we obey his word. the next step that you should be taking to be wise stewards of your finances, first of all, Financial Peace University would be something I strongly recommend everyone to sign up for. But then taking another 10% and putting that in a functioning savings account. So it's called the 80-10-10 principle. You live off of 80% of your income, and then you won't have to worry about bumps in the road, because that 10% savings is there when the tires go, when you need a new washing machine. You have no fear and no worry because you've been setting aside that 10%. Now, the best and the most ultimate way to live in stewardship is the 70-10-10-10. Just simply living off of 70%, putting 10% into what I call a deep savings fund that's investing for your future. God tells us to pay attention to our future. He gives examples. He says, watch the ant and how they store up. Joseph, he prepared in the 7 years of plenty for the 7 years of drought and famine. So that 10% goes into a deep savings account, preferably an account that isn't attached to your computer that you can't see readily or easily. And then the 10% goes into a functioning savings for breakdowns and special things that you want to do in Christmas, because we never use credit cards. Because credit cards are bondage and they'll get you in a stronghold that will be a struggle to get out of. And first and foremost off the top, your 10% goes to God. So I want to really encourage the family of God today to be blessed in your finances, to be good stewards. Stop using excuses. Well, I could never get there. I live off of 100%. I could never get there. Start somewhere. Start somewhere. Start with the 10% that's holy to God. And then start with saving $5 a week. Start with sacrificing that Coke, that coffee, that something, and putting $5 a week. And build to this place so that you can be blessed and prosperous in all that you do. God's children should be the light and the salt of the world. And people should be able to look at the house of God and see that we are blessed. But it comes from us being obedient and good stewards to the word of God in our finances. Are you ready to give this morning? Let's stand. We're going to make our supernatural declaration, and this is from the word of God. And it starts out with the seed of obedience. If I obey. So we have to start somewhere. We have to start somewhere to have these promises. And when we start, then we can declare boldly these promises and know we have no fear of our future, because God is over our finances. Deuteronomy 28. If I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. My savings, that's my savings. I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and sow seeds of obedience with your tithes and your offerings today. If you're watching via live stream, you can jump over and click on the giving button and sow seeds of obedience right along with us.
I'm seeing all his will. He's stacking every day. Been watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back. Cause this
means war.
What does this mean?
This means war.
I said this means.
This means war.
I've been the storm.
This means war.
Blood still stays the same. Whatever's going wrong, my foreclosure on. Might be in a daze, but shook hand at my priest. No matter the attack, I won't turn back.
It's this means war.
I said,
this means war.
I said, this means war.
This means war.
Yeah, this means war.
This means war.
Come on, take me on out of here. This means.
Praise the Lord. Are you glad you're in the house of God this morning? Me too. This is a very exciting message for me. I've never preached this message in 27 years except for first service. And so I'm just excited to be able to share this with you. I know God is going to challenge your life. He's been challenging mine with this for a while. I want to encourage you that today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Can I hear an amen? Can you be glad? Shout amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that your Holy Spirit will overtake us. God, it doesn't matter. We can preach a word and it can be cold and dead. Or, Father, you can anoint it by the Holy Ghost. God, you can transition our lives from death to life. Father, in Jesus' name, I make myself available to be a vessel simply to do one thing, and that is, God, that you will speak to your people. Thank you for the honor and the privilege of allowing me, God, to speak your words. Father, I pray that they will be life. They'll be life transforming. They'll be life challenging. That God, they'll take us to a new place and plateau in your kingdom. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. This morning, I want to read a text to you. And this is what I'm praying for you. So let's keep this as a prayer. Are you ready? It's found in Ephesians chapter 1. It says this, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Today, I want to challenge you with a word that you cannot just hear, but there must be divine revelation. I'm believing and I've been praying that God is going to open your spiritual man, that you will be able to be enlightened by this scripture, by these principles, and that God will teach you that the greatest seed that he has given you and I besides Jesus is something to be able to accomplish and fulfill, that God will ultimately be glorified. Can I hear an amen? You see, today I want to talk to you about that greatest seed. And what is it? It's time. Every one of you and I are governed by time. Everything about us is surrounded with time. The book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 says this, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. I love how the King James declares it. It says, redeem the time for the days are evil. Here's the fact, and that is time keeps on ticking, ticking, ticking into the future. It's so powerful to recognize that time is not going to stop for you, that time is not going to stop for me, that time is something that is universal and that is going to continue to go forward. We must know and understand the kingdom principle of time. And today I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to make sure that there's a revelation to us that will truly understand how time works in the kingdom. You see, this is the year of... I said, this is the year of... Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Understanding how God's kingdom runs, understanding how God's kingdom works is the key to you and I to being successful. You see, we can know how to be Christians. We can know all about church, and it means absolutely nothing. But when we understand how God's kingdom runs, when we understand how God is activated and motivated, when we understand how God thinks and work within his kingdom, then we can have absolute success in everything that we do. How many of you want to be failures? How many of you want to be successful? Success is not an accident. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 1 through 8 says this, to everything there is a season,
a time for purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to throw away. A time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silent, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and time of peace. Here's a reality. There is nobody on this planet. It doesn't matter how rich you are. It doesn't matter how poor you are. It doesn't matter what kind of car you drive. It doesn't matter what kind of financial echelon you live upon. It doesn't matter your background. There's one reality. No matter what continent you live on, no matter what country you participate with, no matter if it's rich or it's poor, every single human being has one thing and only one thing alike. And that is what God has given us. And that's called 24 hours time. There is nobody on this planet that doesn't have this thing. Yet we must grasp a hold of what time is. Because when we understand how God works inside of time, we can understand how to call those things which are not as though they already are. We can understand how to live in the mindset of God. We can understand how to activate heaven. We can understand how you and I can be successful with this thing called time. It is literally the largest seed in our life. It governs our life. Yet, it's amazing. It's the largest gift, the largest seed, but most people live it accidentally. Most people do very little intentional planning of time. Most of the time, we are what? Governed by our circumstances. We're governed by our problems. We're governed by our scenario of life. We're governed by our government. We're governed by our church. We're governed by our preacher. We're governed by this. We're governed by that. But really what happens is God has given you time. He's given you 24 hours. He's given you seconds and minutes. He's given you months and years. He's given you decades and centuries. He's given you and I what we need to be successful in when we understand the planting of time. Time is the most powerful thing that you have. You see, God created time. I don't know how many of you realize that, but God is the one who created time. Before the earth was formed, I want to remind you that there are three kingdoms. You have the kingdom of heaven that is invisible. You have the kingdom of hell that is invisible. And then you have the kingdom of earth. We know that the Bible declares, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The purpose that God created earth was to show his will from heaven. Now you see, heaven is different from earth. Not just that it's a dimension, not just that it is not dealing with the same time constraints, but heaven is powerful because time is not run the same dimension. It's not run the same way. What's happened is when God created earth, he knew that man was going to commit high treason. He knew that man was going to turn his back on him. So God, in his infinite wisdom, decided to activate a plan. He created something called time. Book of Genesis chapter 1 says this, verse 14. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be signs and seasons, for them signs and seasons, and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light to the earth." And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, the sun and the moon. And he made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were of the fourth day. So God knew that on the fourth day, he wanted to create something. The creation that he brought forth was that called time, really called linear time. It's how you and I live. Every aspect of our life is governed by time. Listen, you came to church this morning at what time? Okay, you can do this. I know you can. Here we go. You came to church today at what time? I can say some of you might not have gotten up yet this morning. But what time did you get up this morning? 7 o'clock. Very good. Was there a time to eat this morning? No. Some of you have been up way too long. Listen now. I know what you're going to do this afternoon. Some of us have even planned our time this afternoon. You're going to watch the Patriots win this afternoon. There's a time to win and a time to lose. Hallelujah. Every one of us are governed by time. How many of you work 8 hours? You watch the time clock. You know, we have certain times in our life, and time plays a massive... Listen, how many of you know your birthday? What's your birthday? That's a time. A date is generated by a time. How many of you got a watch on? How many of you look at your phone? How many of you got clocks? Why do you have all those things? Because our life is governed by time. Time is a creation that God has brought into existence, not just to say that we have 24 hours, but there's an eternal purpose that there is a creation of time. God, in his wisdom, created day and night, 24 hours, as a divider between heaven and earth. There's a division in time that God created for a reason. Now, let me tell you why. Because that in heaven, God's timing is powerful. God does not and is not governed like we are. You have past, present, and future. That's how you and I live. We're governed by the time. We're governed by the seasons. But God, in the wisdom of heaven, because heaven is not governed by the same motion of time, God can look down and see all at the same. That's how he knows all things, because he's not governed by the same timetable that we are. Time in heaven is different than time on earth. But why would God create time differently on earth than he did in heaven? Why would God set forth a 24-hour period of time rather than make it like an eternity? Now, I want to show you something. When God was in heaven and he created Adam and Eve, he created Adam and Eve and they came down on this earth. But I want to remind you, on the fourth day, he had already created time. But yet Adam and Eve had never sinned. Adam and Eve had never stepped into the separation from God. Adam and Eve were living in purity. They were living in innocence. And that's how we know that God would walk with them in the cool of the day, because God cannot be in the presence of sin. So God would walk with them and God would spend time with them. Yet there was a sunrise and a sunset. So why did God set forth time if Adam and Eve had not sinned and could have stayed within that realm of eternal time where there is no end and there is no beginning? It's very simple. Because Adam and Eve sinned. And because they sinned, if God had not yet changed time, then their sin would have been done in eternity. Therefore, the consequence would have been sealed and never could have been changed. You see, the need for God to create time was absolute love. Because he knew, come on now, how many of you have ever sinned before? The rest of you just did. Hallelujah. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We have all sinned. So that means this. If our sin was in eternal time, then there would never have been an opportunity for forgiveness. But God so loved us. He so loved the world that he not only gave us his son Jesus, the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth, but he gave us time so that when mistakes are made in temporary time, there can be an overturn before it hits eternity. See, time plays a massive part in the progress of our walk with heaven. In fact, time has such a powerful principle in our life, and it so governs us that we have all different measurements of time. You see, measurements of time is powerful because it shows us that our life can be measured, because life is time and time is life. How many of you ever said before, I just don't know where time went? How many of you ever wasted time before? We could go through all the sayings that we go through, but here is a truth that's very powerful. If time can be measured, then life can be measured by the time. If time is the greatest seed that God has given us to accomplish our purpose and our task on this planet, then when time is wasted, then we are ultimately still sowing. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows of the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If a man sows of the spirit, he shall of the spirit reap eternal life. So whether we like it or not, we are all spending time every day. And the time that we spend is seed. And all seed brings forth harvest. So why is it that the greatest seed that God has ever given us, we still do not lasso and control, but it controls us? How many decisions have you made because you didn't have enough time? How many decisions have you made quickly and foolishly because you wanted to make them quickly in time? How many of you ever paid consequences for decisions you've made in your life? All of this deals with the eternal principle of time. There needs to be a revelation in our spirit. There needs to be an understanding and an awakening and enlightening that every part of our life is saturated with time, and all the time that we spend is seed, and all seed always brings a harvest. And some of you are living in a harvest that you don't like, but yet you had no problem planting the seed of time. Well, I can't control it. You're a liar. The only thing that we can all control is our time. Do you know time is so powerful and so measurable? You see that big equation right there? You know, this is talking about time. I have to look at this because it's beyond me. You know, we all look at, most of the time, the lowest second is we'll look at, what are those time clocks there? Stopwatch. Someone does a race, and we'll measure time and how close they were. Tenths of a second. But tenths of a second is nothing. When you start seeing the reality of how time can be broken down and how time can be controlled and how time can be measured, it will absolutely blow you away. You see, how many of you have ever heard of Planck time? Planck time, P-L-A-N-C-K. How many of you ever heard of Planck time? Dude, you're smart. I had never heard of Planck time. Planck time is equated, I got to get my stuff out, to 12 attoseconds. It is the shortest amount of time in 2010 that they've ever been able to measure. I got to read this to you because it's beyond me. One attosecond is the time it takes for light to travel to the length of two hydrogen atoms. 12 attoseconds is the record shortest time interval measured as of 12 of 2010. 24 attoseconds is the atomic unit of time. 67 attoseconds is the shortest pulse of laser light yet creative. 100 attoseconds, the fastest ever view of molecules in motion. Listen to this. This is really wild. Blow your head. Ready? For context, an attosecond is to a second what a second is to about 31.71 million years. Or excuse me, billion years. I'll hear one more time. An attosecond is to a second what a second is to about 31.71 billion years. Yet we can sit back as humans and actually measure that time. Time is so powerful, yet in our walk of life, we so very rarely look at the time that we spend. So what happens as most Christians are out there, most believers are out there, they're walking their life by accident. They pull an 8-hour day at work. They come home. They eat for 5 minutes. Then they go sit in the chair for 35. Then they get up after 35 and they go to the bathroom for 29. And then they get out of the bathroom for 29. And then they go back to the chair. And then they sit down and they turn on one TV program that turns into two. So 3 hours are all of a sudden gone. Now it's time for time. It's time for bed. So they get into bed and they sleep 8 hours, and then they get up in the morning at like, well, come on now. Some of you get up early, but some of you still get up really late. No, he don't get up late. He's a beast. Everything we do is all about time, and time is about seed, and seed is about harvest. Yet so many of us just let time move on. When was the last time you actually looked at your life and said, where am I spending most of my time? Do you realize that where you put your time and your money are actually your core values? They're what you actually believe. You can tell somebody, I believe this, but unless you put your time and your money in that realm, then you don't believe it at all. What we actually believe is where we place our time. If we don't start arresting our time, then we're going to be constantly living by accident, or we're going to constantly sow seeds of our time that will bring a harvest that we don't want to participate with. And then we're going to get mad at God, mad at the church, and say, well, where's God? And God will say, no, you don't understand. I gave you the same 24 hours that I gave this person. They used it properly, and you threw it away. When we don't understand how powerful our time is, then we literally throw our lives away. You see, when you don't govern time, you become a person that lives regret. I wish I hadn't have done that. Boy, you know, I look back on my life. I look back in time. And I wish I wouldn't end up where I am right now. Who put you there? Luck? You see, when you don't govern time, you have to live by luck. Luck is never the plot of God for his sons and daughters. God has planned for us that eternal principle called seed time and harvest. That when we are wise stewards of the seed, our time, then when we get up in the daytime, then we can look and say, I know where I'm going. I know what I'm aiming at. You see, I know what I want to accomplish. When you do not have an aim, you will not hit anything. And if you do not hit anything, then your past, your present, and your future will all look the same. When you take your last breath, and you'll wonder where life has gone. Time is powerful. Seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, years, decades, centuries, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. This is you, and this is me. We can blame everybody else for our problems. But problems don't land on anybody else's shelf but ours. Well, you know, you don't understand. I was sexually abused as a child. You don't understand what I went through. You don't understand the wounds that I've gone through. There's somebody with 24 hours, the same amount of time that you had, that have overcome that. Well, you don't understand the country that I've come from. You don't understand the degradation. You don't understand the trials that I've gone through. But somebody with 24 hours has made it through that and have become successful. You can use your 24 hours as excuses or your 24 hours as opportunity. Or you can just let your 24 hours mean nothing, which will always produce something. Let that sit. This is the difficulty of our believers of today. The challenge of Christianity today is that most believers never live intentionally. Most believers live absolutely accidental. They do not plan a harvest. You see, you always plan the harvest before you plant the seed. They never plan their harvest, so therefore they live their time by accident, and therefore what happens is they get harvests that they do not want, and then they don't understand how and why. What's wrong with me? This is not what happened to so-and-so. I don't understand. What's wrong? Why doesn't anybody love me? Has nothing to do with love. Has to do with time. Here's a thought for you. Maybe I personally had never really grabbed the hold of it until I saw it. It was like, wow. In Genesis chapter 3, it's the end of the story of Adam and Eve. We all know the story of Adam and Eve, and that is that the devil came in and tempted them. Tempted Eve first. The Bible says that she was beguiled, or she was deceived. And she ate of the fruit that God told her not to. And there was a tree called the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And God said, don't eat of that tree or you shall surely die. Always remember, the devil will only tell you half-truths. So Eve took a hold of the fruit. She ate the fruit and then she offered it to her husband. The Eve was beguiled, but Adam made a willful choice to sin. He ate of the fruit and all of a sudden, everything changed. They did not die physically, but they died in ways that I want to talk to you about. Immediately, they died spiritually. Once they died spiritually, they recognized there was no more innocence in them. They recognized they were naked, and they ran to go find a place or something to hide their private parts with. Up to that point, there was no private parts because there was absolute innocence in the Garden of Eden. And I want to remind you that God walked with them and talked with them in the cool of the day, which means God was able to come into the presence of man because there was no sin. And because God is holy and sin cannot be in his presence, he was able to be with them. And time was moving forward, but something happened the moment they sinned. Time changed. The eternal time scheme changed. Adam and Eve were in this time. They were in eternal time. But thank God for God. Can I hear an amen? Amen. That he has enough foreknowledge to create for us a way of escape. Can I hear an amen? I thank God that he loves us enough that he didn't want to just see us die in our own foolishness, but that he planned a way. And it was with time that Adam and Eve could have moments. They could have redemption. They could have forgiveness. They could have the redeeming of the time of the natural so it didn't destroy their eternal. Let me show you. Genesis chapter 3. I'm sorry I'm teaching today, but I'm enjoying it. Genesis chapter 3 says this. So he drove man, this is after the curse, he drove man out of the garden. And he placed a cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Many of you don't really understand the tree of life. Let me explain the tree of life for you. The tree of life, we see it here in the book of Genesis in the Garden of Eden. And Adam and Eve were eating from that tree. After the fall, the next place you see the tree of life is in Revelation chapter 22. It's along the rivers, the riverbanks of heaven, where you will eat the leaves and it will heal the nation. What does that mean? That means the tree of life has eternal value, has eternal nutrients, has eternal time wrapped in them. And when we get to heaven, we're going to be eating the tree of life, which will give us that eternal value, that eternal time where we will remain healthy, blessed, and God will live through us. You see, this is what God's plan was. But you know, he saw something. When Adam and Eve sinned, he placed a cherubim at the way to the tree of life. Why? Because if Adam and Eve, in their sin, had eaten from the tree of life and entered back into eternal time, then there would have been no forgiveness and they would have been damned, and so would you and I. So time plays such a massive part, even in the eternal redemption of God, where God will take your life and my life. You see, if you make a mistake in eternal time, it works with eternal timing. If you make decisions in eternal time,
There's no turning back. So God has given us linear time. He's given us time on this earth so that when we choose or when we turn, we can always have another chance to turn back. Because if our sin was created in eternal time, you could never ask forgiveness. See, today, every one of us have sinned. It doesn't matter what your background is, you still have the same 24 hours. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter your family. It doesn't matter your color. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter your country. What matters is, what are you doing with your time? What are you doing with the seed of your time? What will be the compilation of the harvest that will be harvested in your life with the time that you have spent on this planet? Redeem the time. Use your time wisely. There is a time for everything. But God is saying, you must plan your time. When you don't plan your time, then you can never create a result on purpose. You're always just going to let stuff happen. Oh, I hate my life. The only way you can hate your life is if you planted it wrong. Because God gave you life. Well, my life's a failure. How? How is your life a failure? Because you didn't plant your time. Well, I've got no money. I'm bankrupt. I've got nothing in my life. How? How? There were more millionaires created in the Great Depression than any other time of history. They had the same 24 hours as the rest of the people. Here's one for you. Well, I live in Elmira. I live in Chemung County. This is the problem with my life. If I could just get out of here, I'd be all right. See how foolish we become? We allow ourselves to excuse our time. Do you know what the statistics are? Is we are number 5 in Elmira, the number 5 of coagulated millionaires. Is it nation or is it state? In the nation of the United States of America, Elmira is number 5 for the most millionaires of any city.
There's no money in Elmira.
I'm telling you, man, this is the whole point now. You see, this is what I'm saying. We excuse our seed of time, and then we complain about our harvest. There is nothing you can't do in the kingdom. There is nothing you can't do through Jesus. There is no way that you and I can fail. It all depends on what we do with our time. God wants to take our time, our seconds, our moments, come on, and he wants to bring them to a place where you're constantly planning for success, not just planning for the second, but planning for a future. I think one of the worst parts about being the pastor is that he beat you up with this first. So I've been dealing with this for a while. And yesterday I sat down and I just wanted to veg. So I turned on John Wayne. I watched Cahill. Then I did the search to watch another John Wayne movie. And I found it and started watching the movie. And the Lord said to me, "What are you doing with your time?" "Well, I'm watching John Wayne." I mean, doesn't that make sense to you? And he said, "Why are you wasting your time? You only have 24 hours. What seed are you planting with John Wayne? Better yet, what harvest can you get with John Wayne? Can you become more manly? More studly? Can you shoot back to the 1800s? Time travel? No. You know what I was doing? You know, I'm not saying there's not a time to, even God rested. But what happens is, to our lives, most of us are living such foolishness. And we say we can't control it. If you say you cannot control your time and your temptations and the trials that come in your life, then you're saying that God is a liar and you're powerless. Really what it is in your head you've made a decision that this is what I want to do with my time. I don't care what God does. I don't care what God says. I don't care what results I get. This is what I want to do, and no one's going to tell me any different. And then we get mad at our harvest. You spend no time with your wife, you can't understand why she leaves. You beat your kids and can't understand why they hate you. You don't go to church and wonder, and you can't understand why you don't grow in your faith. You never accept Jesus as your Savior. Can't understand why you're in the lake of fire. Duh. You know, there are people today, right now, that are still in bed, wasting their time. There are people right now that are out playing around. When will they ever get this word again? Maybe the exact word that they needed to shift their entire life. They miss the moment. They miss their time. You ever heard of a window of time? How many of you have ever missed a window of time? Isn't it amazing? We know all the terms, but we never really live life. We allow life to live us, and then we complain. My question to you is this. What are you doing with your time? How are you planting your seasons? What are you doing with your time? I do want to say this. I said this in first service. If you say you love God, I'm almost done. I have to check the time. If you say you love God and live in sin, the Bible says your time shows you're a liar. You know, one time I had a staff member that would tell me he was in the office. Now, we're talking a pastor. And so one day I came into the office many, many years ago. I came into the office, and you know what? His time clock was punched, but he wasn't there. So I was just popping in and popping out. He wasn't expecting me at that time. So I kind of just waited around, which cost me time. And he walked into the office and he was shocked. "Hi, what are you doing here at this?" And I said, "I don't know. Where were you?" And he said, "Well, you know, I was asked to go play golf, so I figured it was a ministry." I fired him. Why? I do like golf. But you can't steal somebody else's time and think you're going to be able to reap a harvest from their bank. What are you doing with your time? How do you live your time? Stop using your excuses. What harvest do you want with your time? You know what we did 2 weeks ago? Actually, yeah, it was 2 weeks ago. I asked everybody to create a what? A faith wall. I guarantee you that most of you never created it. Not some of you. I guarantee that the majority of you never created the faith wall. Why? I didn't have time.
Is that true? No, because you made time to do whatever you wanted. So ultimately what you're saying without a faith wall is you're making the declaration is, I want no direction in my life. I want no destination in my life. I want no harvest in my life. So I'm choosing to live by accident. I'm choosing to live by luck, and hopefully everything works out for me. But if it doesn't, I'm mad at God. God just looks at us and he says, what is up with you, man? You're crazy. You're crazy, people. You messed up. I gave you time so you could create a destination and then seed your life to acquire your harvest. Stop complaining and start making. I'm sorry. This is not good religion. It's not good religion. Good religion says, everything's going to work out all right. Everybody, Jesus, love, 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 love. You can live any way you want and everything's good. You don't have to work. Hey, sarah, sarah. Oh, I just want to skip. All right, I will. Hallelujah. John Wayne, listen now. You're a real man if you skip. Here's the issue. You live by accident, and you can't understand why you're not getting what you want? Man, come on now. You see, right now, my time is over. And how do I know that? Because the clock in the back is blinking. It was just blinking zeros. So time is governing my life. What do you do with yours? What do you do with yours? And until you figure that out, you'll make every excuse in the world. But everybody has the same 24. What are you going to do with yours? By the way, this is week one. I'm going to finish this next week. It gets gooder. That's my own word. But today I challenge you. Some of you won't come back next week because you got something else planned. Go ahead. You miss your word. That's a challenge for you. Because at some point in time, you've got to create a list of priorities that will not only affect your linear time, but affect your eternal time. You can gain everything in this world. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And what will you give in exchange for your soul? It's your decision, because it's your time. Bow your heads with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that, Lord, you'll help us all understand this truth. God, it is not fake. It is not a religious thought. But God, it is true. For sinner and saint, we all have the same 24. I ask in the name of Jesus that you'll bring revelation knowledge to us. That, Father, we'll start planting seeds, eternal seeds, in our natural world. That we'll start seeing results that, Father, you placed on our heart. You said you'd even give us the desires of our heart. I thank you, Jesus, that you're so faithful to love us enough not to leave us in eternal time. But God, we don't know how much time we have. Do you know today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to invite you to know him. I can't tell you how many people I've heard say this. Well, right now, I'm just not ready. What you're saying is, I'm not willing to make time to change my life. You never know how long you have. Now he's using scare tactics. Oh, no, we all know somebody who died young. We know babies who have died. Everybody in this room knows a baby who's died. We know children who have died.
We know teenagers who have died. We know people in their 20s and 30s and 40s. We know people who have died. We never thought they would ever, ever pass away. We are so comfortable with something that we have no control over until we decide to live it instead of it live us. My question to you is this. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, what time are you waiting for? Jesus said, today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. That's Luke chapter 4, verse 19. Jesus said, this is the time. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I'm not going to beg you. And you want to receive him into your life. This is your time. Who cares? Who cares who's next to you? Because the fact is, when the time comes, you won't be judged with them. You'll be judged alone for your time. And then if you don't know Christ, you got to serve your time separated from God for eternity. Today, if you do not know Jesus and you want him in your life, you want to change your time. I want you to raise your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait long. I'm not going to wait long. Come on, get your hand up. Ready? 5, 4, 3. Come on, I'm not going to wait. 2, last call, 1. Why am I going so quick? It's simple. I can't convince you to make time. You've got to do it yourself. And if you're not motivated enough to change your own life, then get the harvest from your time, but don't complain to God. It's your life. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that everyone in this room will have that revelation knowledge. Enlighten us, Holy Ghost, that our lives will be changed for the glory of God. Let's all stand this morning. Next week is part 2. Oh, I forgot that whole example. That's all right. We'll do it next week. Next week, I'm going to continue this. You need to bring somebody that doesn't know Jesus. You need to invest some time in bringing a sinner to the house of God. Let me say it one more time. You need to invest some time to bring a sinner to the house of God. Well, what if they don't get saved? It doesn't matter. You know why? Because he said, my word will not return void, which means my word will work in time. Father, I release a blessing over this church in the name of Jesus. I declare that we are intentional seeders. I declare that we are intentional harvesters. I declare that we will have perpetual harvest. Father, that is great. And that, Lord, you will raise up mighty men and women of God in this place. I declare businessmen and businesswomen, Lord, the companies that are in this house, I declare them to prosper in Jesus' name. Those entrepreneurs, Lord, stir them in the name of Jesus. Lord, I declare raises. I declare, God, promotions. I declare, God, Lord, families be reunited and restored. I declare in the name of Jesus that people's health will be restored in Jesus' name. God, that we will plant accordingly with our time, our seed from heaven. In Jesus' name. And everybody receiving it shouted. I said everybody shouted. The prayer team's around the front of the altar. If you need prayer for anything, they're here to minister to you, love on you, pray for sickness, disease, deliverance. It doesn't matter. We're going to get God to bless you today.